Mr. Speaker. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I rise to make my contribution, Mr. Speaker, to the debate this year and to offer, in the first instance, my support for the Appropriation Bill 2006-2007. Mr. Speaker, over the last 2 days, we have heard many things. We have heard many descriptions. We have heard many analyses. We have heard many lies from the opposite side. And in some cases, it would seem that those who produce those lies, it would seem to me that it's becoming something of a pathological situation. Pathological syndrome is correct. But I want to first of all speak to that great throne speech made by the Governor General of this country, Dame Paulette Louis. That throne speech, Mr. Speaker, sought to have us in St. Lucia, both within this house and without, to recapture the very essence of our spirit, what we call the St. Lucian spirit, the Lucian spirit. That was a treatise, Mr. Speaker, on what you call, what one can suggest is on being St. Lucian. Recapturing our St. Lucianness. And when I reflect on this, Mr. Speaker, and I look at how it is married with the budget presented by the Honorable Prime Minister of this House, I believe all of us need to understand what is taking place in this great season of change. We have seen in the past, Mr. Speaker, various revolutions. We have spoken of the Renaissance sometime in the 13th century. Then in the 15th century came the Industrial Revolution, accompanied by the Protestant ethic. And then came the great period of the 95 theses posted on the Catholic Church that led to the Protestant ethic and led to the emergence of the non-conformist religions like Calvinism, Zwinglianism, and of course Lutheranism. And all of that time, Mr. Speaker, we have seen the maturing of globalization. And it is fitting to have people to understand, Mr. Speaker, that globalization is not a phenomenon which began today, but it's a phenomenon which began since the 15th century. And what we are seeing now, Mr. Speaker, is a manifestation and maturing of the globalization scenario. And in all of that, Mr. Speaker, in these great periods of change and these great seasons of change, we have seen quite a bit of social conflict, and we have seen certain shifts in the social and societal situation. And therefore you have had changes, you have had great technological changes these days, you have had great changes in telecommunications, you have had great changes in terms of economies. But the question is, Mr. Speaker, with all of those changes, have we had the requisite and commensurate change in values, attitudes, behavior, culture, etc., etc.? And when one thinks of this, Mr. Speaker, that is where the throne speech makes so much sense. Profoundly analytical. Deep. Mr. Speaker, some something that should hit the very soul and heart of this country and its citizenry. Because, Mr. Speaker, we can understand in St. Lucia what is happening and what is happening in the Caribbean. Accompanying the changes that have taken place have been the increase in oil prices, the threat of terrorism, all kinds of things happening these days, Mr. Speaker, both near us, within St. Lucia, and far away from us. And therefore, we have a situation where, in the economic and social transition of the country, you have had what you call a bit of enemy and alienation. I stood in this honorable house, Mr. Speaker, in 1998-1999, and spoke about the farmers in this country who are experiencing problems with the fact that things were changing so rapidly that most of them and most of us could not keep pace with the change. During the budget speech, Mr. Speaker. And so, Mr. Speaker, what the Governor General is advising us in her throne speech is that the way to deal with the situation is to get back to our St. Lucianness. Get back to our values in St. Lucia. And while it may have been nostalgic in terms of what obtained yesteryear, it is certainly applicable to what and timely to what is happening right now. We must recapture the values, Mr. Speaker, to deal with some of the changes that are taking place. And when you talk about crime, it tells you about recapturing that St. Lucian spirit. It tells you about recapturing the St. Lucian spirit of the humanity that we once shared with each other, of the care that we have for one another. It tells you about recapturing the spirit of goodness, not good point. Or Kukutla, or Kukjabet, or Kut Bulet, Kudme, not Kutwe. That's not what we are talking about. It tells us, Mr. Speaker, if you are not Kutland either, it's not like if at the house I put there to an opposition and say, Kutland to sell. Where are your solutions? One of them there, a member of Patrick Central, saying all kinds of things and then walking outside and busting to people outside and I said about how he has exposed the government and flexing his muscle-less arms. No, he's a tiger and he has plenty teeth, but none are biting. So he's not toothless. Mr. Speaker, our society is made up of two impulses. What we can call the material impulses and what we can call the moral impulses. The material impulses is that which is taken care of by the state and the government of the state. The moral impulses is that which we have to look within in terms of the values and what the church and other institutions have to take care of, the family. The material imperatives, Mr. Speaker, comprise all of the economic pursuits, dealing with unemployment, dealing with the world business of the economy of the country, providing housing, dealing with the poor and so on. And the moral imperatives have to do, again, as I said, with the values. And that is what the Governor General captured so beautifully and so simply and so profoundly. But you know what that means, Mr. Speaker? It means that if we want to deal with this present period, and I'll link it to the budget in a little while, this can only be derived by our deliberate and urgent introspection. We must look within. It is a kind of inner conversion that we, the citizens of this country, need, and it is a kind of inner conversion that the society of St. Lucia needs. That is what we need. A complete spiritual conversion. That is what the Governor General was alluding to. And we are not talking about spiritual revolution, Mr. Speaker, from the point of view of religiosity. There is a difference between religiosity and spirituality, Mr. Speaker. The dictionary may say to you that religiosity means doing things repeatedly. So you can go to church every day. But are you spiritual? Are you spiritual? Do you know what spirituality means, Mr. Speaker? It means how you deal with your inner self. It means how you deal with other people, your humanity, your spirit of humanity. It means how you do with other people, your brother's keeper, how you interact one with the other, how you care and embrace people, good men, not good men. That's what we are talking about, Mr. Speaker. That is essentially what we are talking about. And the Governor General will go down in history as an individual who understood in our time, what is really needed to exorcise this country from all of the things that are taking place, including its criminality. And they come and talk about crime, Mr. Speaker. But let's leave that for another time. This budget speaks, Mr. Speaker, was alluding to the strengthening of growth in the economy. It is an indisputable fact, Mr. Speaker, that we have been through our period of troughs. And it has been cyclical, Mr. Speaker. The great economist Schumpeter talks about cycles and troughs. We have been through that, and now we are going through the cycle of growth. And past budgets, 2001 to 2005, have concentrated on strengthening growth in the economy. And this has been done in deliberate policies, Mr. Speaker, since 2001. Let's look at the elements. The implementation of the tourism incentive package to strengthen investment in this sector. They talk about tourism. They have been speaking about tourism for years, Mr. Speaker, but all of a sudden, leader of the opposition and others talking about tourism and disputing the fact that tourism is the engine of growth now. But it has been spoken on for years in a number of budget addresses. Who you think you're fooling? And then you come and talk about the government intervention. Because what this government is doing is perfect economics, Mr. Speaker, for those who claim to be economists. Yeah. But you know what I've learned, Mr. Speaker? And it's an old adage. I'll come to that. We're talking about government intervention is counter-cyclical investment measures having realized that there was sluggish private sector investment. Anytime the hope is sluggish from the point of view of the private sector, Mr. Speaker, government must step in with its private sector, with its public sector investment program, the PSIP. Simple economics leader of the opposition and member for Denver North. Public sector programs to create a catalyst for the new police stations, the new fire stations, the new secondary schools. All of those things that were given. And we can talk about the ad nauseum. Significant investment in roads, the disaster mitigation projects, housing projects. Rochelle, all of these encouragements we are talking about trying to stimulate growth. And now we have come to the point of course, of even the encouragement of private sector investment by reducing corporate tax or servitude on the 12%. 45. And then we'll pop it down from 33.5% to 30% over a three-year period, offering relief in the investment in property. Do you know that? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Citizens, more than that, Mr. Leader of the Opposition, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, citizens being given reprieve by increasing personal allowances on the income tax side. We have spoken about that before. And that's where you deal with the poverty. One of the measures of dealing with the poverty, discretionary income. And then you're talking about all of these policies were designed with the objective of stimulating, as I said, investment and greater activity issues in the economy. Because we're saying that economic recovery having benefited from these deliberate counter-cyclical fiscal measures. That's what has happened. So in a downturn, Mr. Speaker, in a downturn, government intervenes in the economy with expansionary measures aimed at increasing economic activity. It's economics 101 that you said today. That's the rocket science in that one. No rocket science. And what is happening in the 2006-2007 budget, Mr. Speaker? This year's estimate of expenditure has evaluated the economy. It has evaluated the economy and our problems, and is now targeting in a deliberate manner various social issues. That's what the budget is doing, you know. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to discern that. And some of all this whoash about auditors report 2001 and expose the government, deal with the issues in the budget. Don't go out there in some kind of fashion where you think you're in Hollywood. You're not in Hollywood. You're in reality. You're in the situation of reality. And just now, time will tell. Time will tell. Go to our actors. You know the great thing Shakespeare was writing, you know, as you like it. You know?
Yeah.
You'll hear. You know what is that, Mr. Speaker? Now that you're targeting deliberately the social issues, you are ensuring that the economic development made over the past 5 years would not be eroded. Because there's a danger of it being eroded. And therefore you are effecting the necessary social transition by attacking crime and deviance and further social decadence and dislocation by corresponding interventions in law and order, health and education. And I don't need to go into the whole libera of what the budget does. And all of my colleagues around the table on this side of the house have dealt with that with consummate ease and intelligence. And then you talk about debt. I'm not even going to talk about debt, because I will tell you, Mr. Speaker, leader of the opposition, through you, Mr. Speaker, that the central government debt at this time to GDP is 55% lower than ECCB prudential guideline of 60%. And more than that, government, if you look at the statistics, if you look at the budget, you see government is now borrowing less than last year to finance the budget. So we have gone to a certain level, and you're right. There is a danger, and we are making sure that we deal with that danger. We are making sure we deal with that danger. Yes, we're making sure we deal with that danger. And you come and talk about modernization of agriculture. The leader of the opposition refers to modernization of agriculture. And when I proceeded to question on the whole modernization, he tells me packaging. You see this kind of thing? People from the opposition come with this kind of airy-fairy kind of thing. How do you modernize agriculture? Packaging. Packaging what? Packaging. You know? What is going on? The government is on record as trying to modernize agriculture with the irrigation, with the IRVC. So the same packaging you want to talk about. And so what are you talking about? Huh? What are you talking about? And then you speak about crime and about government social engineering program failing because of crime and so on. You know? And I don't even want to go back into certain things because time may be against me. Tonight I want to take my time and really go through this. Talk about economically depressed notions. And then you proceeded to talk about the economic and social degradation, and you said the first thing that caused that was the decline of the agricultural industry. So everything, what kind of reductionist argument is that? Everything is reduced to bananas? Banana peel. And then you claim all of you and your friends. You and your friends say we kill bananas. Yeah, we kill bananas. But why we have killed bananas? have killed the people. Who are they? Randy and Julian. You have killed two people. Randy and Julian. And you know what? There's a chance for the bananas to survive. But there will never be a time for Randy and Julian to come back on this. Yeah. Deal with that. Then he talks about then results. You know, that's easy to talk about then results. 500 people from Bell Fashion and 500 farmers. What is your source of information most of? A gut feeling. Well, that gut is full of five and no boyo. What is your source? No source. But let me give you my thoughts. Let me give you my thoughts. Going up. You talk about that fashion. Who closed down Mayfair, let alone as Apar in the 1980s? Who closed half CNJs okay in 1986 when 2,000 workers were redundant? Who closed CML in Beaufort? Who closed Martin Mills in garment factory?
Did I mention it?
Who closed Finman? Who closed Finman in the 1990s, that electronic factory? Among many other factories and Chinese factories in Beaufort. In addition, who made the public health environment unit redundant and sent over 50 workers home and over 50 community health aides? And then you talk about privatization. Then you talk about privatization. Who privatized? Who privatized government funding scheme? And what about, who gave it away? You go and do your research. The same person who wrote that speech for you, ask those questions. Who did that? Who did it? Huh? What is your source of information? And then you keep talking about borrowing. And then you speak about water. And that's your pet topic. Now, you know, Mr. Speaker, Honorable Leader of the Opposition, through you, Mr. Speaker, he's right. Water has been a problem. And I do empathize, Mr. Speaker. I understand the pressure he's under. I understand the pressure that all of us are under. But what was the genesis? Where was the genesis? Did it start in 97, Mr. Speaker? And don't you think we have to plan properly and plan well before we execute? He himself spoke about proper planning.
Yes,
he was the one that said that there must be a plan to be executed. So don't we have to plan, Mr. Speaker? Should we operate on knee-jerk reactions? Should we operate on a gut feeling that is spy and not boyo? What is this thing? Is that how the leader of the opposition and his people will run this government should they win the election? You know, the member for Kashi Central said that the budget is frightening. But you know what I heard from the opposition benches today is most petrifying. Is this how we're going to run a country in the 21st century? On bananas alone, everything is bananas. And then he talks about water. And we have planned. And there's the water for the North Denry North infrastructure upgrade. Let me tell you. And I'm quoting. This is not a gut feeling. This is a document which I would like to make of the House coming from the Ministry of Communications and Works, talking about activity description, budget status, funding comments, etc., etc. So let me help you, Mr. Speaker. Denry North infrastructure upgrade, construction of rough inferences at Somazo and Denry River. 2, construction of pipeline link between Denry North and Denry South system, because the two Denrys must be one, in every sense of the word. $2 million! $1 million for gross salary, Mr. Speaker! And the project is ongoing! And then you talk about that at your favorite place. Your favorite place. Yes, and earlier. Gathered water supply system. Coming out of BNPS. $500,000, Mr. Speaker. $500,000. Installation of 50,000 gallon water storage tank at Gareth. Installation of new 4-inch pipeline to water storage tanks. Installation of new pumps. A government that plans and makes sure that it does this thing well. Because if you go over now, your effort will come and fight cost overruns, cost overruns, cost overruns. Let's plan well. We understand the plight of the people. I empathize with them. I go through them. I hear their cries, Mr. Speaker. I know what they go through. My father lives there. I know what he goes through with the water, Mr. Speaker. But there is a plan. There is a plan. Then we saw the same thing, $7 million for, they suffered for years. And you know why they suffered for years? They suffered for years because of the lack of planning of the former regime. The inheritance of $112 million in debt. Exactly. But no more. No more. Sir John Compton, the man you went to confess to and read your act of contrition for to be reaccepted and endorsed. There it is. Thursday 14th, 1995, in the budget debate, referring to the topic of public participation and the possibility of ownership of shares in a new proposed joint venture between Government of St. Lucia and Cable and Wireless for the ownership of the telecom sector. The same thing you spoke about. You don't want the privatization of the water. Do you have an alternative? John Compton said that a share offering by WASA is more complex, but the task both Compton should not be avoided. What has happened between 1995 and 11 years later, 2006, that things should change so radically from what John Compton said in the House? What? What is the alternative? What is the alternative? Build a dam, Tunis. The alternative of building a dam at Tunis River is an idea that came from this government. I have participated in the discussions.
Admit that.
And we said that that's too much. We said that that river can give water to the whole of Denry.
15 million.
Don't try that.
15 million. That's our discussion.
And then we have the honourable member for Miku North talking about how there's nothing exciting about the budget presentation. You know why it's nothing exciting? Because they had other expectations. They thought it would be pork barrel. New projects for the upcoming election, but we don't operate so. That's a style, your lad. That's a style that the United Workers Party have, not us. Not us. And by the way, tell your friend, the member from Miku North, that if he wants excitement, the kind of excitement he wants is beyond the scope of this Honourable House. I'll repeat it. It is beyond the scope of this Honourable House. The kind of excitement he wants. Not in this house. This is an Honourable Chamber. And then your other friend, the member for Castries Central, who is behaving in all kinds of narcissistic behavior, unprecedented in this house. Everything is him. Tato. Where are you? Loka notika kule, pasa a peche lot navigi. I hope you understand that. I will explain later. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something further. He said the budget was frightening. Wow. Frightening. And he ranted and raved. But you know what? Everything the honorable member said was both new and true. But you know what? What was new was not true. And what was true was not new. What was new was not true, and what was true was not new. But time will tell. He spoke about the new hospital. We'll build a hospital and nothing. But you know what's happening in this country? From the time this government came into office, when you tell them you're going to do a project, take for example Bodley, that's the apple. Then when you build it, they say you can manage. And when you manage it, and you, there will be no equipment. And if there's no equipment, then you cost overruns. In fact, let me get the order. You can build. When you build, you can manage. When you manage, cost overruns. When you deal with the cost overruns, you can't equip. When you can't equip, you're not running the facility well. So nothing you do. What? May educators say this side. Contents on near the door. But we'll come to that. And then he talks about the new hospital and says, there's nothing living, nothing nothing. It is this government that decided to go and build two new hospitals. The government of the United Workers Party spoke about building a new hospital. They even worked for Victoria, collected $1 million, and up to now no new hospital has been built. It took this government in times when things are hard, according to everybody, but in times of plenty, none of these things happen. What happened to the times of plenty? What happened to the great banana era? What happened to the great banana era? What happened to that? What happened to all your roads during the great banana era, Mr. Leader of the Opposition? What happened to all your roads? What happened to all of the Americans that were supposed to be there in times of plenty? Mr. Member of the House, what happened to the money? And you asked where the money gone? I asked where the money went. Yes. But more for that. Mr. Speaker, I now come to health. I now come to health. We'll deal with other things a little later. At another time. At another place. Mr. Speaker, the theme for my business on health is moving towards quality health. Moving towards quality health and quality services. And Mr. Speaker, the road has been long, hard, and rough. The Ministry of Health began to move to the path towards quality health and social services over 5 years ago, Mr. Speaker. You remember 1997 when we came in, we spoke of health sector reform. Developing a strategy to deal with the substantial improvement in the quality of healthcare and health outcomes in St. Lucia. And during the financial years 2003 to 2006, with the help of people of St. Lucia, we have been actively planning and implementing the health sector reform agenda. We have strengthened, Mr. Speaker, the institutional capacity of the Ministry of Health. We have completed the first draft of the National Health Strategic Plan. We are indeed in the final stages of the development of the Universal Healthcare Project. And Mr. Speaker, I am not like the Leader of the Opposition and the others who just come in. This is a copy of the first draft of the National Health Strategic Plan, Mr. Speaker. Right here in my possession, all 66 pages of the document, Mr. Speaker. Right here in my possession, Mr. Speaker. No blocks, no pathological lies, no ranting and raving, misbehaving and making people believe that we know everything. And Mr. Speaker, we are in the process of constructing two modern health facilities and strengthening our regional health services. And in implementing a quality framework, Mr. Speaker, there are certain prerequisites. Because, Mr. Speaker, we on this side of this Honorable House view health as the ability to achieve the maximum quality of life. Now, when health is defined in this manner of the maximum quality of life, we are obligated, Mr. Speaker, to enforce standards of ethical conduct and ensure that our services are client-focused and responsive. And this will be realized through the establishment of a high quality improvement system specifically designed to achieve efficiency and effectiveness in healthcare provision. Mr. Speaker, the national quality system, remember I'm talking quality, this is my theme tonight. The national quality system will enable this country of St. Lucia to move strategically towards quality health and social services. Between the healthcare we have, and I want us to listen to this carefully, between the healthcare we now have and the healthcare we would like to have, lies not just a gap, but a chasm. A chasm. Because, Mr. Speaker, while the demands and expectations of the health sector have grown, the health sector, the healthcare delivery system does not have the mechanism to consistently improve care. In addition, the healthcare system, as it is presently structured, does not make the best use of available resources. We like to admit these things, Mr. Speaker. We have nothing to hide. We know we have problems in health. Who are we fooling? Who can we fool? Who feels it knows it? Who feels it knows it? Why should I stand in this honorable house and fool people and tell them the health system is good and it's very good and moving and it's excellent? We know we have challenges. You see, Mr. Speaker, perfect care may be a long way away, but much better care is within our grasp. Much better care is within our grasp. We have accepted that a higher level of quality cannot be achieved by further stressing current systems of care. The current healthcare system cannot do the job, Mr. Speaker. Trying hard will not work. Changing systems will. Healthcare must be delivered by systems that are designed to provide care that is safe, effective, efficient, patient-centered, and equitable. So what does quality healthcare mean, Mr. Speaker? It means providing leadership and ensuring provider competence. It means ensuring accurate health information. It means increasing access to healthcare for all clients. It means health focus on our clients' needs, care that is respectful of their values and preferences, and when they need it. It means reducing pain, suffering, and disability. Quality healthcare means achieving a longer quality of life, keeping clients fully informed of services and resources available, enabling clients to participate actively in care delivery, better use of resources, a more productive workforce. And we are confident, Mr. Speaker, that we have a healthcare system of the quality that we need, want, and desire. However, we must restructure to address both quality and cost concerns. And the quality improvement system will build a stronger healthcare system over the coming decade. It will drive administrative, financial, and service delivery reform and restore public confidence and satisfaction in our healthcare system. So therefore, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, improving quality must not be viewed as a parallel activity, but rather an integral part of our daily work. It must be an integral part of our daily work. And therefore, we propose, Mr. Speaker, to improve the health systems by increasing accountability at the administrative, institutional, and individual levels. We propose to look at improvements in the system of monitoring and evaluation. And we believe, Mr. Speaker, in the implementation, and we believe in what you call the PDCA cycle, and the leader of the opposition, my friend, would be happy to hear this, the implementation of what you call the PDCA cycle, which simply means plan, do, check, act. The PDCA cycle. Plan, do, check, act. That is how we have been operating. And the components of the quality system include institutional arrangements, regulation and legislation, quality tools. Mr. Speaker, the Ministry of Health has been working hard towards some aspects of each component of the quality framework in an ad hoc manner. And I am not happy with this. But before I go into the details of the quality framework, Mr. Speaker, allow me to provide a brief update on some of the initiatives designed to improve the quality of care offered to our clients over the past year. What we have done, in other words, to improve health and well-being, Mr. Speaker, I want to say to the nation that the time has come when we must all unite to to reduce the burden of illness, injury, and disability. The challenge is to bring the full potential benefit of effective health care to all, not some. No one must be left out. And we must do that while avoiding unneeded and harmful interventions and eliminating preventable complications. Therefore, Mr. Speaker, meeting this challenge demands a readiness to think in radically new ways about how to deliver healthcare services and how to assess and improve their quality. Mr. Speaker, the main conclusions drawn from our national health profile reveal the following, and this is very important. What does our national health profile look like? Neonatal, that is, babies between the age of 0 and 27 days, and perinatal, that is, babies of about 1 month old. These neonatal and perinatal deaths are a major contributor to infant mortality. For neonatal deaths, we have had what you call 13 per thousand. And for perinatal, 25.5 per thousand. Now, Mr. Speaker, while figures remain below the WHO standard, that is the World Health Organization standard, of 30 per thousand, I want to repeat, while figures remain below the WHO standard of 30 per thousand, these figures are still too high for my comfort. They are still too high for our comfort. The young injuries and accidents, Mr. Speaker, remain the main cause of death among adolescents and adult males. Teenage pregnancies and low birth weight remain persistently high in spite of reduced fertility. Why are we having this situation? Diabetes is the principal cause of death among persons 45 years and over. Cancers of the malignant neoplasm type are a major cause of death. And the most common areas include the prostate. Oh yes, men, beware. The breast and the cervix. And the incidence of HIV/AIDS, Mr. Speaker, to continue the profile, continues to increase, especially among young females 15 to 24 years. You know what we have discovered? We have discovered that despite knowledge, the fact that knowledge has increased, attitude and behavior have not changed. So what do you do? We did a survey, a knowledge attitude survey, and it revealed 90-something% of the people interviewed have good knowledge of HIV/AIDS and how it is spread. Yet, the attitude and behavior has not changed. Mr. Speaker, achieving high standards in environmental health remains a challenge. Personal responsibility and science compliance at food establishments, garbage disposal and respect for the environment are areas where renewed effort must be sustained and strengthened. Mr. Speaker, the challenges we have faced in our efforts to improve these conditions have been compromised significantly by insufficient human resources, inadequate access to drugs, ineffective policies and weak legislation. And Mr. Speaker, we are of the view that our quality system will better prepare us to respond to these health conditions. And so, by emphasizing our challenges, I hope not to undermine our achievements, but permit me to mention a few. We have completed the first draft of the National Health Strategic Plan, and I've shown you that tonight. We have increased the number of disease-preventable vaccines. Children now receive 2 additional vaccines. And the total of available vaccines to our children now are 9. Total vaccines available, we have increased to 9. Hepatitis B, to prevent the debilitating impact of the hepatitis virus on young children, is one such vaccine that we have introduced. And the second one we have introduced hemovirus influenza type B vaccine flu virus. Mr. Speaker, flu vaccine is also available for the elderly. Elderly persons with compromised immune systems and diabetics. We have developed, Mr. Speaker, protocols for the treatment and management of diabetes, hypertension, and cancer. And these protocols guide the care given to patients suffering from these diseases. And we must ensure that all our health workers fully understand and are committed to the proper treatment and management of these diseases. We have expanded the national response to HIV/AIDS. And the expanded response is funded by the following sources. World Bank, $21 million. That's the work of this government of the Sinhalese Labour Party. The Irish Fund, $133,000. The Global Fund for HIV/AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria, $1,168,470. And the UNFPA, the United Nations Population Fund, $800,000. So the total budget for planned interventions in the prevention and control of HIV/AIDS over a five-year period amounts to over $23 million, Mr. Speaker, the work of the government of the St. Lucia Labour Party. I remember when I went into that unit, Mr. Speaker, talk about nostalgia and talk about going to the past. In 2001, an HIV/AIDS program was virtually unheard of. And I could not believe it, Mr. Speaker. I could not understand it. And there we are now, rolling out all of the planned strategies and the money we have been able to obtain for HIV/AIDS. To date, we have spent a total sum of $5.7 million in terms of program implementation. Some of the other major achievements include free antiretroviral therapy for all persons infected with HIV/AIDS. So, Temuna, no ketoape sida, no pani pupe, no pani pupe pour ces drugs-là, pour ces pills-là. Nous ne pouvons pas payer pour yo. Nous ne pouvons pas payer pour ces bagailles-là. We who have contracted the virus do not need to pay for the drugs, Mr. Speaker. But all of us must make sure we get tested so that we can access the services. And we must not wait too late. Comprehensive care and support to HIV/AIDS positive persons and the people living with HIV/AIDS is on the cards. It's right there. Establishment of free HIV/AIDS clinics. The protocols of care developed for voluntary counsel and testing and treatment. Strengthening and expansion of counseling and PCC strategies. The strengthening of the coordination capacity, the establishment of the national coordination mechanism, the establishment of the focal point in key government agencies, the establishment of the NACC, the involvement of civil society, and the NGOs in the fight against HIV/AIDS. And I want to commend, Mr. Speaker, my CS and other staff members, including the coordinator, Mr. Nayam Jabatis, for having done a wonderful job in terms of this program. And we have seen the strengthening of the response to the eye health care program as well, Mr. Speaker, through the appointment of an ophthalmologist as we move into eye care. And we have implemented the Miracle Eye Care program through the financial and technical assistance from the Cuban government. You heard my colleague minister, the honorable member for Castries South, suggest to you that today 12,000 people have been screened and another 2,000 referrals have been made to Cuba for advanced treatment and surgery. Thanks to the government and people of the Republic of Cuba. It could never happen under the United Workers' Party. First of all, they could not have done it because they suffer from myopia. So they could not have done it.
The honorable member has 15 minutes remaining to make his contribution.
Okay. And then we have, Mr. Speaker, we have improved our response to environmental complaints to 89%. This represents 15% increase over the previous year. The Ministry of Health in the year under review has expanded the response to rodent infestations on the island through the implementation of year two of a three-year comprehensive rodent control program involving two pilot sites, Castries in the north and Beaufort in the south. And the total budget for this project over the 3 years is $730,250. And in collaboration with the Pan American Health Organization, we have completed an oral health survey. What are the results of this survey? Again, Mr. Leader of the Opposition, you plan, you do the research before you come out and try to implement. What has this survey proven? The results of this research project will provide information on the oral health of our people. It will give an indication of the degree to which our clients have decayed, missing, or filthy. What you call a DMFT survey. Decayed, missing, or filthy. And this data will be valuable for the planned interventions to improve health in this area. We have launched the National Emergency Medical Services in partnership with the fire service, with the generous help of two United States certified EMT trainees, Mr. and Mrs. Sims. And I want to publicly thank them today, Mr. Speaker. That is to improve our emergency medical services. Today, Mr. Speaker, we have trained 40 first responders. 40 first responders, 40 dispatchers, and we are now training 20 EMCBs. Very important, Mr. Speaker. World Cup coming. World Cup coming. We have to make sure we get our act together and put the quality and standards necessary. And in collaboration with the UHC project, we have completed a task assessment at the secondary, a risk assessment, at the secondary care establishments, and designed work plans for the preparation of institutions for quality improvement and accreditation. We asked some people come here, Mr. Speaker, to look at our institutions. Denry Hospital, Central Hospital, Victoria Hospital, Golden Home Hospital, Supre Hospital. They pointed out to us, Mr. Speaker, the gaps. And therefore, we are now working with all of these institutions to deal with those things for quality improvement and for accreditation. And it is good to note that the Victoria Hospital and the Central Hospital have completed strategic plans which will drive the quality initiative at the hospital. The rehabilitation centers or facilities are expected to do the same. And what about the physical development aspect, Mr. Speaker? Mr. Speaker, we have also focused on improving the physical environment of our health facilities. The majority of the capital expenditure reflected, support for infrastructural development. In the financial year, Mr. Speaker, 2005 to 2006, the capital budget of the Ministry of Health was $26 million, over $26 million. And this reflects an increase over the past year of about 50%. Our main challenge in this area is inadequate human resource capacity for implementation. The need is great, but the relevant skill mix to improve our implementation and utilization rate, Mr. Speaker, are inadequate. And over the past years, this rate ranged from 13 to 43%. In this financial year, Mr. Speaker, we intend to improve on these challenges by ensuring that key persons responsible for project implementation are in place and the interministerial and intersectoral networks are strengthened to facilitate greater efficiencies in project implementation. What have been our achievements in this regard? Support for the preparation of the access road to the new national hospital complex is there, Mr. Speaker, $4.4 million. And then we have preliminary work for the mental health facility to the tune of $1.5 million. We have the refurbishment of the Victoria Hospital and Golden Hope Hospital and Sterling Point Rehabilitation Center to the tune of over $500,000, Mr. Speaker. And what about the repairs to our health centers? Honorable members will be pleased at what is going on. We commissioned two, Mr. Speaker, two operating theaters and provided vital radiology equipment at the Victoria Hospital with the help of the NIC Independence Day grant of $2.1 million. And Mr. Speaker, the upkeep of the health facilities is proving to be quite expensive. You have an aging physical plant, Mr. Speaker, beginning to show signs of weakness. While our local budgetary supporters manage to maintain these facilities, the work required far exceeds this form of financial support. So the Ministry of Health over the past year has commenced the implementation of the CDB Economic Reconstruction Project. Total project cost over $309.5 million, Mr. Speaker. More funds to take care of various health centers. Phase 1 will rehabilitate 15 health centers. Much of our activities under Phase 1, Mr. Speaker, were centered around the tender process and relocation of some health facilities to facilitate Phase 1 of this project. And Mr. Speaker, works have commenced. Works have commenced on 8 health centers to the tune of $1.8 million. The Grandview Health Center in Rosalie, the Bellevue Health Center in Beaufort North, the Toronto Health Center in Babolo, the Fosse-Jacques Health Center in Souffre, the Larry Truth Health Center in Denry North, the Mongoose Health Center in Swazelle, the Great Health Center in Beaufort North, the Dairy Store Health Center. I noticed the member for Miku South didn't mention that, but he was there. He promised me some oranges and grapefruits. Never delivered, but that's okay. The Dairy Store Health Center.
The honorable member has 5 minutes left to make his contribution.
You're going to hear 1 hour. 1 hour.
Mr. Speaker, despite the lateness of the hour, I wish to invoke Standing Order 3210 to crave the indulgence of this Honourable House to allow the Honourable Member for Denry South and soon to be North an additional 1 hour within which to complete his presentation.
Honourable Members, the question is that Standing Order 32, sub order 10, be invoked to allow the Honourable Member for Denry South an additional 1 hour to make his contribution. And now for the question. As many are of that opinion say aye.
Aye.
As many are of a contrary opinion say no.
No.
I think the ayes are.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's part of the camaraderie, Mr. Speaker. Part of the camaraderie that we have engaged in for the past 9 years. Never to be broken. Mr. Speaker, in addition, contracts have been awarded for 5 health centers. So I spoke about 8 before, another 5 health centers for a total of $1.6 million. Rich 4, in Denry North, La Croix, in Castries South, Dexter, in Castries Southeast, Miku, in Miku North, and Monrepo, again in Miku North. So you see, Mr. Speaker, we went across the country.
Nothing
concentrated in the north. Nothing concentrated in the south. We went across the country, north, south, east, and west. That is the essence of good governance, Mr. Speaker. This preparation is in place for La Clery and Canaries Health Centers. The Honourable Member for Canaries and Surrey Canaries will be happy to hear this. But that is not all, Mr. Speaker. In keeping with the health sector reform proposals, Phase 2 of this project will be informed by a condition and maintenance survey. The surveys will ensure that we design health centers that meet the requirements for the health development units. You see, Mr. Speaker, we want to change health centers to health development units because we really want to look at primary health care and we really want to promote the importance of primary health care, Mr. Speaker. So these health development units will be people-oriented, customer-oriented, customer-focused. These units are designed to provide preventative and promotive health care. And what we mean by that is care that allows us to remain healthy and identify and manage conditions before they become life-threatening. Even the high incidence of hypertension, Mr. Speaker, diabetes and cancer among our population, Mr. Speaker, it is imperative that our health facilities are prepared to deliver appropriate health care. And Mr. Speaker, in the new financial year, the Basic Needs Trust Fund and the World Bank will also fast-track rehabilitation works on health centers. There we go. 3 more health centers, Mr. Speaker. Never before in this country, Mr. Speaker, have so many health centers been repaired in one swipe. Never before. Unheard of. Unprecedented, Mr. Speaker. We're talking about the construction of the new Vanna Millet Health Center under BNCF, Mr. Speaker. This year, we're talking about the rehabilitation and modification of the Saltibus. The Saltibus Health Center, Mr. Speaker, and the extension of the Antrepo Health Center. Tendering process will be finalized, Mr. Speaker, by May 30th, 2006, to begin this work, Mr. Speaker. Aren't we serious about the health care of this country, Mr. Speaker? Aren't we serious? Aren't we serious about the call, Mr. Speaker? Isn't this good evidence, good, excellent and exciting evidence about a government for the people? A government that cares for the people? A government imbued with the spirit of humanity? May one more look up that Lester McKay's auditor's report. In the fullness of time. In the fullness of time. The World Bank, Mr. Speaker, Emergency Recovery and Disaster Management Project will focus on rehabilitation projects valued at $350,000. And more health centers under this rehabilitation project, Mr. Speaker, zero shaker trees to be rehabilitated. More sheep to be rehabilitated this year, the second quarter, and answer it. So let not your heart be troubled, people of Ansari, and the member for Ansari can read. What more do we want, Mr. Speaker? And these are projects, all of these are projects, member for Ansari can read, are at the design stage. And then, more than, Mr. Speaker, the completion of renovation works and physical upgrade of turning points to the tune of $250,000. Mr. Speaker, these are physical works, Mr. Speaker, but they go a long way to helping our people receive the requisite care that they have deserved for so many years in this country. That is the work of the government of the St. Lucia Labour Party, Mr. Speaker. Our mental health reform project is well underway. We have the construction components in terms of the mental health facility, which will be completed early next year. A gift from the People's Republic of China for the sum of $27 million, Mr. Speaker. And people have witnessed the works on the Millennium Highway. Only last month, Mr. Speaker, we presided over the sword turning ceremony. And you know, Mr. Speaker, I want to take an opportunity to outline to members of this Honorable House and those without, those outside of the House, what this whole thing is all about. The mental health facility, Mr. Speaker, is designed to reflect the layout of what is referred to in modern parlance as the Hidalgo model. I believe Hidalgo is a Spanish derivative.
Break it down.
This model speaks to a layout of separate physical structures rather than one main building such as what we have at Golden Hope. Separate physical structures. Each of the separate structures replicates a home setting. Not just one big factory setting. Not just one big empty space and you just throw people into that space. No. The humanity, the care, It replicates a home setting. And there's a gradual step down care. So that while clients are treated for their mental illness, they will also be provided with skills to live a normal life and return to their communities. So no matter where you are in the back of election, maybe you go to move. Look at me, they do a home. A flash code, you can chop it, calte, car your business.
No hairdressing is there, right?
Yeah, there might be room for that.
But we did that for some foreigners, huh?
Yes. Technical essential component of this. But that will come to hunting, you know, Mr. Speaker. You see all this xenophobia? You see all this xenophobia being spewed by the members of the opposition? Foreign this, foreign that, foreign that. We will investigate. Because it's the same foreign this and foreign that that takes votes to go to Martinique to foreign this and foreign that.
Yeah.
It's the same foreign this and foreign that that has given us the mental health facility. The same foreign this and foreign that has took care of the 2,000 people who go into eye care. The same foreign this and foreign that is in the new health facility, the new hospital. Tato. Oh God, Lani Moon. You know, these days the young people say, I go in foreign. Oh God, Lani Moon, Kiali foreign. Alright. Another essential component of this initiative, Mr. Speaker, is the implementation of the Community Mental Health Project. The Community Mental Health Project will allow health professionals to track clients and monitor their progress. Because, Mr. Speaker, I am extremely unhappy when I see people walking the street looking mentally ill. Up to this morning, Mr. Speaker, Marion Street, a young man totally paro, quote unquote, according to the modern parlance. Totally paro. Totally out, totally gay, dead walking the street. I immediately took my phone, thank God for cell phones provided by the government of the St. Lucia Labour Party. I actually picked up my phone and called Golden Hope and said, listen, find a way to come and take care of this individual. And that's what we must do, Mr. Speaker. When we see these individuals who appear to be acting up and may be potentially dangerous in terms of the violence that they may in fact instigate, we must pick up our phones and call Golden Hope. Speak to the nurse or the doctor then say, listen, there's a young man or young lady who seems to be acting up. I don't know. I am not in the position to make the pronouncement that this individual is mentally ill. Nevertheless, I want to express my concern, and I think something should be done about it, and maybe you should come to look at the situation accompanied by a policeman who does not have to necessarily be armed. Because we must care for them, Mr. Speaker. They are our brothers and sisters. So when we see them acting up, we don't pass with our cars and walk by and say that's a paro. We must play our part and have the pride and dignity in our country. That's what we need. That's what we need, Mr. Speaker. Yes, that's what we need, Mr. Speaker. Basically, that's what we have to look at. And Mr. Speaker, I'm urging the members of the public to develop this kind of caring attitude and humanity to those out there. We will monitor drug compliance and provide social support through community health outreach and capacity building. The Mental Health Reform Project, Mr. Speaker, marks the beginning of a change in thinking about the mentally ill. And Mr. Speaker, the real success stories will begin in our hearts. Do you know that, Mr. Speaker? The real success stories in terms of the mentally ill and the downtrodden will begin in our hearts and our minds. So allow me, Mr. Speaker, to take this opportunity to reiterate the mental health philosophy. There can be no health without mental health. There can be no health without mental health. We must open up to this new thinking of mental illness, Mr. Speaker, just as another illness. And our health can only be complete if we also have mental health. In the new financial year, Mr. Speaker, the new General Hospital will also break new ground in this new financial year. Yes. And yet another foreign concern, the EU, has graciously granted us the 163 bed facility, which will cost approximately $84 million.
Which
maternity wing?
Which
maternity wing? You see something again? You can't build a hospital. Now the hospital is in the field in 1993. It doesn't have maternity wing.
Who can
put me to staff who access to make an official maternity? Simon? Motion? Motion. Tenders will soon be approved, Mr. Speaker, for the design of the access road. And the European Union has made a generous contribution to the development of this facility. The official signing took place last month and marked the finalization of the grant agreement. The government of St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker, is proud to be the recipient of these gifts from the People's Republic of China and the European Union. The two modern facilities on the same site will enable us to treat health in a comprehensive and integrated manner. Now, Mr. Speaker, what are the additional activities planned for 2006-2007? We are aware of the gap in health service provision, Mr. Speaker, for men and adolescents. And Mr. Speaker, I want to speak to the men. Our research reveals, Mr. Speaker, and our epidemiological data, data peculiar to health, looking at morbidity and so on, tells us, Mr. Speaker, that there is a problem with our men in this society. And this gap, Mr. Speaker, we have to address the issue of the health gap with men. And it will be addressed this year with the introduction of wellness clinics. Mr. Speaker, too many of us men wait until we are dying before we see a doctor or go to a health center. There are too many of us. And you know what's causing that, Mr. Speaker? We're in absolute pain. We men, we are in absolute pain, Mr. Speaker. But just because we feel we are macho, and just because we feel we are strong and we are supposed to be the stronger vessel and must be able to face pain no matter how excruciating it may be, we take the pain. And then it is too late. You know how many men, Mr. Speaker, suffer from high blood pressure? But Mr. Speaker, we men, no norm. We have to claim our disease. I'm a hypertensive, Mr. Speaker. I'm a borderline hypertensive and I have to take a tablet to control the pressure. When you reach the age in the 40s, Mr. Speaker, complications develop, and as you grow older, the complications and complexities develop even more. And my hypertension comes from the fact, Mr. Speaker, because I'm a fitness freak, I always exercise, I diet well and so, but my hypertension, as well as many others, come from what you call a predisposition, a genetic predisposition, because both of my parents are highly hypertensive. And all of them have to take lots of medication. So I know where it came from. It's a genetic predisposition. Leave me alone, Minister. Member for Cashfield North. You see, the member for Cashfield North, I'm not fortunate to have a doctor in the family. So, Mr. Speaker, I'm speaking to my men. Take health seriously. Open that bonnet. The same way you open the bonnet of the car to make sure that the battery is working well. The same way you take that car to service every 3 months or every 3,000 miles, whichever comes first, and you take care of that vehicle, take care of your bonnet, look below your bonnet. Because they are silent killers for us out there. And then you hear a man falls in the street, and you say, well, dear, such even, much yet when you see, much yet valid by Mr. Silent killer, hypertension. Oh, God. It's right here, Mr. Speaker. The anatomy of an ischemic stroke. Our men must take this thing very seriously, Mr. Speaker. Too many of us men fall victim to what you call renal dialysis. Expensive business, Mr. Speaker. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with walking into a health center, and there's no pride. There's no foolish pride about this. You walk in by the doctor's health center one day, you drive in past the health center, and then you stop and you walk into the health center, and three of that, get your pressure checked. There's nothing wrong with that. What is this macho business about you? You don't need to see a doctor on this. We must change this attitude, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, the second thing I want to say is that we will screen for a range of conditions to ensure that we capture conditions in their early stages. We'll address the increasing incidence of end-stage renal disease. Over the past 5 years, Mr. Speaker, and I want people to listen to me carefully, over the past 5 years, we have been experiencing a high incidence of kidney diseases in this country and kidney failure. And that is often caused by complications due to uncontrolled diabetes and hypertension. Mr. Speaker, the dialysis machines at Victoria Hospital are being operated at maximum capacity. At present, there are 43 patients, Mr. Speaker. There are 43 patients registered on dialysis, and there's an additional 25 on the waiting list. You know what that means, Mr. Speaker? If somebody falls victim to renal dialysis today, it means that 30 years ago, his lifestyle may have been bad. And I'm sure the optometrist will believe me, Mr. Speaker.
I have optometrist.
If you fall victim to renal failure today, it means that you must go back to see your lifestyle many, many years before. And that is why now is the time to take care of it. Now is the time. Because you know, one of the things the men are afraid of, Mr. Speaker, is when they take medication, certain things do not work well. I had a vasectomous experience, Mr. Speaker. So I'm okay. You know? So, Mr. Speaker, this government has responded to this problem, and bravely so, because you know in St. Vincent, in Grenada, and these other countries, the government is petrified. The government does not want to introduce renal dialysis. And when I go to these meetings in the OECS and in other Caribbean territories, and I tell them we have renal dialysis, they ask me if I'm mad, if I don't know how expensive that is. I say, no matter how expensive it is, we must take care of our people. We must take care of our people. So we have to treat and manage this condition over time. And therefore, our current strategy is three-pronged. There must be prevention through health promotion, there must be hemodialysis treatment, and there must be kidney transplant. Mr. Speaker, the first two strategies are currently in place. But we are now looking, Mr. Speaker, at establishing transplant services, which will be financed as one item on the guaranteed package of services for the treatment and care of clients suffering from kidney failure. So, Sala, you can make a flash, Mr. Speaker, let UHCR, Bini, and Bini and Twe. Nouvelle Garesi, let Noamoun, let Denouamoun.
Affecté.
Et qui passe à travers encore. Ça veut dire que pas travailler fait encore, c'est ma chine pour aider l'hôpital. Et puis, est-ce que c'est des bagages là-dedans, yo. Nous, quand on a fait un lien qui, avant UHCR, Nous sommes en lock noir bayou. And therefore, Mr. Speaker, we want to improve the rate of detection and treatment of STIs. Including HIV AIDS through the implementation of the expanded response to HIV AIDS prevention, treatment and support project. Gut health, Mr. Speaker, very important for us because we want to ensure a well-coordinated response to emerging and re-emerging diseases like SARS, bird flu, West Nile, and typhoid. And we are working feverishly with the Ministry of Agriculture to deal with the whole issue of bird flu. Both ministries must come together through our gut health and port surveillance and the avian flu or bird flu to deal with this. We need to reduce admissions and readmissions at health, at the mental health and drug rehabilitation centers, Mr. Speaker. And improve access to modern dental health care. That is why we have an active implementation of the mobile dental health initiative. We want to improve the survival rates and reduce disabilities for medical emergencies through the implementation of the comprehensive integrated emergency medical system. At the end, Mr. Speaker, we have a problem. And what we have decided, what the experts have decided at VH, is that what you really need is patient transportation for VH. So that when people have to leave the hospital, there's transportation to take them where they need to go. Because sometimes it is foolhardy using an ambulance to do that, because an ambulance is for emergency. And therefore, if you use an ambulance to take patients home, you're going to compromise the emergency situation. And therefore, we are investing in a patient transportation system at PH to take people home so that they can be released in terms of occupying the beds, both at the accident and emergency and on the ward. And that patient transportation system will be used for routine visits as well, Mr. Speaker, because several times there are people who call the ambulance and it is not an emergency. And these are the things that we have to deal with. This is what Dr. Charles and others are trying to put in place now to deal with those kinds of problems that we have. We want to reduce the incidence and the negative impact of blindness and other disabilities through the establishment of the National Eye Health Care Program, as we spoke of before. And we want to improve access to safe environments through the continuous vigilance of the wastewater, food safety, and vector management program. But we want to look at human resource development as well, Mr. Speaker. Very important. A major challenge, Mr. Speaker, in transitioning to the modern healthcare system is preparing the workforce to acquire new skills and adopt new ways of relating to patients, each other, and community health. We need a better skill mix, Mr. Speaker. We need to ensure the right skill mix at the central agency, in the health institutions, and regional health services. Our main achievements for this, Mr. Speaker, include the completion of the human resource component of the National Health Strategic Plan and capacity building. And therefore, 14 persons are presently enrolled in the Pan American Health Organization, World Health Organization Environmental Health 3-Step Program. What is the objective of this program? It is to enhance the skills of environmental health officers to work effectively on the job. 2 nurses have been trained in the care and management of diabetic patients. That's part of our human resource development plan to assist with the development of protocols for the effective management of diabetics. And Mr. Speaker, for the past 2 years, the Ministry of Health has implemented an internship program. What is the objective of this internship program? It is to ensure the quality of our new doctors by providing them with an avenue to have their skills tested in a supportive environment of learning. The mechanism, Mr. Speaker, allows the Ministry of Health to evaluate the new doctors and ensure that the doctors working in our health facilities have achieved the relevant competencies to treat our clients. Today, Mr. Speaker, this program has provided competence level training for a total of 37 doctors. 14 in 2004.
Say that for the
14 in 2004-2005. 23 in 2005-2006. And doctors over a 2-year period have been trained at a total cost of over $1 million, Mr. Speaker, after having been trained in Cuba and the University of the West Indies in that internship program. It is the vision of this government, not the myopia, but the vision of this government to ensure that since 1997, we have been sending people to be trained in Cuba. It's not to be trained in Cuba. But there are those among us who don't like that, Mr. Speaker. There are those of us who don't like that. But anyway, as more medical students return to the island, The need for this level of certification is becoming increasingly important. By November this year, Mr. Speaker, we will be enrolling yet another group of some 13 students, 10 doctors, 3 dentists. Cuba. And over the past decade, Mr. Speaker, supply and demand, and this is important, supply and demand of human resources in health have gone through a cycle of highs and lows. Market forces, Mr. Speaker, make it difficult for us to adequately plan for our health resources. The recruitment agencies are lying in wait for our well-trained health professionals. And in addition, trade agreements such as CSME and the WTO trade in professional services have the potential to increase the supply of workers to our shores. But at what cost? Last week, the Ministry of Health met with the Ministry of External Affairs to determine what will be offered in the health sector under the WTO trading agreements. And in the months ahead, we will be developing clear policies on human resources in the health sector to ensure an adequate supply of skilled human resources in health. Mr. Speaker, the low supply of medical and non-medical staff is evident from the analysis of vacant positions in the public health institutions. And take a walk with me, Mr. Speaker. In our hospitals, vacant positions persist in the area of anesthesiology, pharmacy, medical technologists, dermatologists, family nurse practitioners, health educators, dental therapists, and community health nurses. And in the field of mental health, this surge is even more apparent. So as we prepare for the opening of the new mental health facility, we will partner with the Sir Arthur Lewis Community College to provide training. And next month, Mr. Speaker, we expect to be in receipt of a proposal for the training of our medical and support staff in mental health. So we are working towards our human resource development plan in keeping with the commencement of operations of the two new hospitals. Forward planning. Visionary, thinking ahead, not in the past, not thinking in the past about going back to bananas. Bananas will always be there. It will always be there. But we have to move on to look at other things, Mr. Speaker. So what is our response in general? We will focus on the push factors, Mr. Speaker. Because we realize that there are certain push factors right here within our hospitals and in the community that push our people out. And our first response, therefore, will be to address the weaknesses in our own system. We have weaknesses in our system. We will admit that we have challenges, Mr. Speaker. We accept, Mr. Speaker, that nurses and other health professionals will leave the profession for more lucrative positions. But we want to ensure that they are well recognized, well appreciated, and ensure that mechanisms are in place to allow them to resume work when and if they choose to return. I have a number of people now, Mr. Speaker, a number of nurses who want to return to St. Lucia. And we will gladly open the doors for them, Mr. Speaker. And what we will do is to improve the human resource function in the Ministry of Health. And our human resource team will be responsible for human resource planning, training, and implementation of the human resource strategic plan. What will our strategies include? Strengthening performance improvement systems, developing national continuing education programs, establishing exchange programs with universities, streamlining the recruitment procedures, review the mandatory retirement policy and job specific extension. Develop policy on flexi time, sessions, and contracts. A lot of our people are asking for flexi time, and we want to explore that possibility, Mr. Speaker. Improve remuneration packages for hard to fill posts. Maintain a more effective redeployment system. Ensure safe and positive workplaces. And Mr. Speaker, we are not alone in this matter. At the next meeting of the Pan-American Health Organization Directing Council, this issue will be presented by CARICOM on behalf of the Caribbean region. We hope to glean some best practices from this forum, and we will be in discussion with our people to ensure that our strategies are appropriate and effective. The management and organization of the health sector needs to be paid attention to, Mr. Speaker. You know why, Mr. Speaker? We believe that good quality health begins with good leadership and management. So if you want good quality, you must have quality leadership and quality management as well. You cannot have a quality system without quality leadership and quality management. So we must be effective stewards of the healthcare system. The weaknesses of the public health structure are well known. The centralized structure of management makes flexibility and innovation difficult. Inadequate procedures and policies reduce efficiencies in the health sector. So, Mr. Speaker, we have made some strides in improving management structures in our health system. We have completed the following activities. Institutional review. We have also looked at the technical assistance from the consultancy firm, Health Research for Action, HERA, to review management structures and chains of command. We have looked at revised structures, Mr. Speaker, in consultation with our stakeholders. Oh, welcome to the speakership. Welcome to the speakership. I believe, Mr. Acting Speaker, Mr. Deputy Speaker, that certainly that must go down on your CV. So we have revised structures. As part of the health center rationalization exercise, Mr. Deputy Speaker, we have completed plans for service provision and management at our regional health centers. We have commissioned the National AIDS Program Secretariat. And also in collaboration with the UHC, we have done a risk assessment which was conducted on the three hospitals and the rehabilitation center turning point. Mr. Speaker, the development of the National Health Information System is critical to the success of these policy reforms. At present, the health information system, Mr. Speaker, requires a major overhaul. Data is produced in an ad hoc manner, mainly for surveillance purposes. And although all institutions and departments produce data, there is inadequate coordination of the data. There is a limited amount of data available on a timely basis to inform decision making. And Mr. Speaker, as a social scientist myself, I have difficulty with that. These weaknesses, Mr. Speaker, persist as a result of an absence of a health information unit with the requisite staff to implement and manage a health information system. And therefore, there is insufficient capacity to collect and analyze data. So we have completed. We have to look at this, Mr. Speaker, because we want a situation where Ma Johnny walks into the health center at Castries. The information is placed on the management information system on the computer. She's referred to Victoria Hospital. When she reaches up there, you can tap into the computer and get the information. And then if she's referred back to the health center, you can again go by that way. Instead of all of this paper and the loss of information, we have to make the system a lot more efficient, Mr. Speaker. That's what we want to do, Mr. Speaker. We have completed the first draft of the National Health Management and Information System Strategic Plan. And we envisage a system that uses the best knowledge, that is focused on patients, and that works across healthcare providers and settings. Working together, we believe this is possible and necessary. So we are piloting a health information system, Mr. Speaker, at the health institutions through UHC and at the community level. In addition, work is presently underway to review and update health information collected at our institutions and to build capacity of health professionals to collect, analyze, and use data. Mr. Speaker, we have to look at the rationalization of regional health services. We are looking at six levels of care in our communities. And these levels will vary in the following ways. Level one service will provide a full range of preventative services on a part-time basis. Level two are fully operational health centers, providing a full range of services and medical clinics on a scheduled basis. Level 3 services will mirror level 2, but will include daily medical clinics and specialized services on a part-time basis. Level 4 will provide level 3 services, including more specialized services and investigative services such as x-rays and laboratory services. The first of such structures was at the Grocery Polyclinic, Mr. Speaker. Sufre Hospital will follow, then Denry Hospital. It will be structured in two phases, Mr. Speaker. In the first phase, Sufre Hospital will be rehabilitated. In the second phase, phase 2 will focus on upgrading of services in preparation for the new role of this facility. Level 5, Mr. Speaker, speak to General Hospitals, VH, the new hospital when it comes through, and the St. Jude Hospital. Level 6 speaks to the mental health hospital and the rehabilitation centers such as Turning Point. So we are organizing, Mr. Speaker. Organizing. That's the vision. To get this thing up and running in a system that is well organized. And then of course, Mr. Speaker, we have the establishment of the UHC. Our health institutions, Mr. Speaker, consume 58% of our health budget. This represents almost half of the overall recurrent health budget. This year, Mr. Speaker, all clients will be part of a revolutionary health financing mechanism that has the potential to drive quality at all levels of the healthcare system. Mr. Speaker, the UHC is going to be revolutionary. In collaboration with the Ministry of Health, we will be piloting a pharmaceutical project for the treatment of diabetes for all clients, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Deputy Speaker. Read my lips. All clients who are affected with diabetes and who are affected with hypertension. Let me explain. If you're diabetic, you're going to get the treatment and the free pharmaceuticals. If you're diabetic and you have hypertension, you will also get the free pharmaceuticals and the free treatment. But that will only happen under this government, Mr. Speaker. Vision again! Vision! Now, this, Mr. Speaker, this project has commenced with the screening of the target population. It will ensure that all the participants receive free drugs. And the underlying purpose, take that to Mr. Deputy Speaker. And I want the leader of the opposition, through you, Mr. Deputy Speaker, to listen to this. Look at the vision. Look at the planning. The underlying purpose of this pilot project at this juncture in the development of the UHC is to obtain as much information on the number of diabetic clients on the island and the cost of treating the disease. So you can't just jump into something before you do your research. So the project is estimated to cost approximately $3.1 million, Mr. Speaker, and the results of the pilot will be used as a proxy for the development and costing of the healthcare package of services. In this new financial year, Mr. Speaker, the Ministry of Health will implement the quality information system. The quality system will form the framework within which the quality improvement system. And this quality system will form the framework within which quality improvements will be planned, implemented, and evaluated. Mr. Speaker, there is going to be another revolution brought about by the plans for health and the UHC. The Ministry of Health will relinquish responsibility for the activities of our nation's hospitals to a hospital board. Under the UHC, Mr. Speaker, the hospitals and rehabilitation facilities will enter into service agreements to provide care to a defined population for a defined package of services at a defined cost and quality. The Ministry of Health will monitor the quality of the service provision and regulate the service providers at these institutions. The PRC principle, Mr. Speaker. The Ministry of Health will be responsible for focusing, regulation, and policy. The PRC principle. We believe the hospital must run its affairs. That's what we believe, Mr. Speaker. Let them run their affairs. Give them the money. Give them the requisite autonomy. Give them the requisite authority to run their affairs. What are the advantages of the USC and the split between the provider and funding services? Here are the advantages. Greater autonomy, accountability and efficiencies at the health facilities for decision making. Greater efforts to implement quality systems. Access to healthcare by all. Cost containment through sound management. Better use of the health resources. Greater focus on community-based programs by the Ministry of Health. Integrated service management. Stronger links between the community and hospital services. Increased efficiencies at the hospitals. That is, these are the advantages we hope to derive. These are the efficiencies we hope to see taking place. So therefore, Mr. Speaker, we are proposing a reinstitutionalization of regional health teams. Mr. Speaker, we believe that the team approach is essential if we are to ensure access to comprehensive and integrated health services. The regional health structures will include quality managers, that is, regional nursing supervisors. It will include quality circles at regional health facilities, regional health service plans informed by priority health area plans with outcome and process indicators. But Mr. Speaker, I spoke to you earlier on, Mr. Deputy Speaker, and I said to you that my theme for health this year is looking at improving quality and looking at moving to the road of quality. The success of quality improvements, Mr. Speaker, the success of a quality improvement system will hinge on robust regulatory mechanisms and legislation. And this year, we are looking at the health legislation, and because we believe that the health legislation is in need of revision. The Pharmacy Act we have completed in 2003. The health practitioner bill, Mr. Speaker, is coming. And it is necessary to ensure the appropriate conduct of our health professionals as they deliver health care. And they have proper qualifications. And that they do continuing medical education. It will become a thing of the past for people to sit in their private offices or at the hospital year after year, day after day, and not going to do the requisite upgrading of themselves for the research in terms of continuing medical education. And you know, Mr. Speaker, what is beautiful about this is that it did not come from me, it came from the St. Lucia Medical and Dental Association and the St. Lucia Medical Council. And it is good. Yes, because in terms of the professionals, we're also looking at what you call the allied professions. Those involved in the alternative practice of medicine, or what is preferably called the complementary practice of medicine. And so on. Yes, all of that. And now, Mr. Speaker, I wish to say to you that I believe health is in good hands and health is on its way under this government. And therefore, Mr. Speaker, I ask the question of you, Mr. Deputy Speaker, and through you, the Leader of the Opposition. And through you, the Leader of the Opposition, I ask a very important question, Mr. Speaker. If the country and the health of the country is in good hands, why move to other hands? If the country is safe in these hands, why move to other hands? To do what? To prove what? And now I come to my constituency of Denry South, Mr. Speaker. And the theme for my constituency submission, Mr. Speaker, I like to be thematic in my approach. The theme is, Mr. Speaker, a vision matures for Denry South, for the Denry South constituency. That vision was born in 1997 through consultation with my people. And this has been the vision of the Denry South constituency, Mr. Speaker. A Denry South with opportunities for all, with a vibrant local economy led by a blend of commercial and touristic activity in the face of unity, justice and equality. That has been my vision, Mr. Speaker, 9 years ago when the people of Denry South elected me to represent them. And we have seen the maturing of this vision, Mr. Speaker, with the introduction of commercial and touristic activity with our physical stock centers, Mr. Speaker, one at the Merdeley, one at Lapwest. We have seen the maturing of this vision, Mr. Speaker, with the Lepani Pilot Bay Resort in Pilot, Mr. Speaker, that will employ hundreds of people in Denry North, Denry South, Miko North, Miko South, Pilot, and those areas, Mr. Speaker. I am looking now, Mr. Speaker, at the Denry Waterfall at Erad. And the Denry Waterfall at Erad is important, Mr. Speaker. That's an important place where we can look at some heritage touristic activity. And I want to be able to explore that, Mr. Speaker, in the not-too-distant future. Many people use that area. Visitors from within and visitors from without. And there too, Mr. Speaker, as the vision takes shape, we can look at the Denry Islet, formerly known in the 1800s as the Denry Island on the 1800s map of St. Lucia. That Denry Island, Mr. Speaker, has potential. And I have approached the Denry Development Foundation for us to explore the possibility in consultation with the people of Denry South on what can be done to harness the touristic, commercial and entertainment opportunities for the Denry Islet. Again, linking Fogo Nature Heritage and Historical Park, the two visitor stop centers, the Lepardi Hotel, the Denry Waterfall, and the Denry Islet, Mr. Speaker. And then, there's an opportunity that when the seawall is completed and that area to the south is backfilled, there's the opportunity, and we are in consultation on this now, for the Denry Visitors Arcade, so that the people of Denry can find an opportunity to sell some of their craft and some of their things to the tourists who will pass through that area, Mr. Speaker. Absolutely. Yes, but we need one by the beach, and we'll be coming to that, Mr. Speaker. And then, Mr. Speaker, apart from the fact that we have that seawall just behind there, you can see that the beach is already beginning to re-emerge, much to the pride of the people of Denry South. And there's an opportunity now for us, Mr. Speaker, behind those doors, to put a nice little promenade with lovely trees planted and benches where people can sit and relax. That is vision. The vision matures. He knows. He knows. He's not oblivious to what is going on. And then comes and talks about 500 farmers, this and that, and 500, this and that, and that, and the other. But we will move on, Mr. Speaker. And I have wasted no effort in this, Mr. Speaker, because again, because of the vision, and because there's an opportunity at Lepardi Hotel, Mr. Speaker, I have begun to train some young people in the Denry South constituency. We had a one-week training program, Mr. Speaker, at Fogo, at the cost of approximately $10,000, which I was able to source from various sponsors to instruct them in the world business of the introduction to hospitality, Mr. Speaker. Okay? 25%, Mr. Speaker, you know what? You know what, Mr. Speaker? I can tell you today, Mr. Speaker, that 19 of them have been placed in hotels after that one-week training, Mr. Speaker. 19! They are there on the internship program. They are there on the internship program with a few that if they perform, it's up to standard that they shall be kept at those hotels, Mr. Speaker. What more total quality representation you want than that? The TQR, I promise, in 1997. And Mr. Speaker, this is instructive. Because whether or not you're in government, whether or not you're parliamentary rep in government, you as parliamentary have to take the initiative and go out there and do things for your people. It's not all of this foolishness about the government must do this and the government must do that. I depend on the government to do this program. But 19 of my young people are now in the hotels across this country. And there's more to come because the others will be placed. And more than that, Mr. Speaker, on the 7th of May, on the 7th of May, I have others that are going to be trained at the Moon Report Online School under the sponsorship of the Lepardi Hotel, the ECG properties. They will be trained in a number of other areas again. And then, when Starwood Hotel comes here, which I've already had discussions with the members of Starwood Hotel, the big up in Starwood Hotel, they are also going to institute training. So Mr. Speaker, even before bricks and mortar, even before bricks and mortar, I have begun the training. So that when the time comes, I will not have the difficulty. And I'm going to take advantage of the Minister of Finance's Southern and Eastern training program under the auspices of the NSDC. Yes, in the fullness of time, in time to come. So that is what you talk about the quality representation. You don't become a parliamentary rep on the government side or even in opposition. Don't throw our leaders and work the fight of innovation and initiative should not become leaders. That is the point, Mr. Speaker. The evidence is there. The evidence is there. Yes, Mr. Speaker. So my human resource training has taken place, it's ongoing, and my people have been placed. And you know what, Mr. Speaker? The intention now is to approach the farmers, the 500 farmers who say that no longer do any work. To approach them, to look at the possibility of linking in with the Lafayette Hotel, to provide that hotel with the requisite vegetables, fruit, and so on, and food for the hotel. Because I've already spoken to DCG Properties and just saying to them that I do not expect them to be importing large amounts of, large supplies of food and vegetables and fruit when you can get it right around you in the Miku and Denry area. So Mr. Deputy Speaker, that is forward thinking, that is forward planning, that is vision, that is the vision that matures. But you don't sit down there and go through a whole GBA of the same thing, this bio mentality, take initiative, seek initiative, be innovative, go out there and get the thing for your people. That's what good representation, that is total quality representation. That's what we are looking for. And then there are taxi drivers as well, Mr. Speaker. There are people in the constituency that I am now going to make sure I speak to, and I've spoken to one or two of them, to look at the opportunity as of now to get together and look at the possibility of becoming the resident taxi for the Le Paradis Toilet Bay Resort. Yes. And then there's the Denry Wall, Mr. Speaker. And let me take you to page 25 of the 1995 speech made by Sir John at the time Prime Minister of this country, page 25. What did he say? In 1995, he said, page 25, and I have the evidence of Mr. Deputy Speaker. I'm not just speaking and talking. I have the evidence. I will begin, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps honourable members will permit me to speak briefly on the projects which, although within government's general development policy, impact more directly on certain communities. I will begin with those areas badly affected by Tropical Storm Debby and Slurry. Tropical Storm Debby, that is in Anslurry and Denry. 1995, Mr. Speaker. And then he goes on to talk about rehabilitation and building a seawall for Denry. That's me. Denry South North, Mr. Speaker, and Slurry North, who is doing it now, Mr. Speaker, for the tune of $30 million? Who is doing it now? What is it, Mr. Speaker? That's 25 of the 1995 John G.M. Compton Prime Minister's budget address. And 1997, from the time we came in, that was part of the vision. And it took a long time because we had to plan. Look at the sea search. Look at the wave action. Look at the effect that it may have in the village in terms of the drainage system. Do all the EIAs, the environmental impact assessment. Do the social impact assessment. And finally, come out with something that is proper and good for the people of Denry South. Not any knee-jerk reaction. Not just putting things down and saying, here you go. Proper planning. Vision. A vision matures. That is the situation, Mr. Speaker. And then, we talk about the Denry Water Rehabilitation Project. $7 million project, Mr. Speaker. And you can see what is happening there. The work is continuing. And I want to say to my people of Denry South, I understand the agony. And this day, this is bad, Mr. Speaker. There are people who have not gotten water for days, for weeks. The water truck passes through. sometimes it is not as efficient as we want it to be, Mr. Speaker. But I say to them, by the end, by December, I've been assured by WASCO that by the end of this year, there will not be that kind of problem in Denry South, Mr. Speaker, because we have worked on it. And let me explain what further work is going to be done, Mr. Speaker. In terms of the that water project, Mr. Speaker, the water treatment plant has been ordered, Mr. Speaker, from Miami. It will be ordered and it will be assembled here in St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker. You know the cost of that treatment plant? Over $1 million, Mr. Speaker. And following that, the pipes in the Denry area, Mr. Speaker, soon to begin, will be relayed and rehabilitated in the village. And I am now asking, Mr. Speaker, I am now asking my people of Denry South to bear with the inconvenience that will be coming shortly when those roads in the villages, in the village, shall be dug up to accommodate these pipe works, the changing of all of these pipes in the Denry area. Last week I hear you. One more that I hear you. But release is coming. Last week I hear you. But release soon come. Green Mountain, Rocky Lane, I hear you. Release soon come. Newfield, Denry, Hospital Road, Denry, I hear you. Release soon come. You have waited. You have been patient. You have been there with me through thick and thin. You have understood. You have borne the agony. You have borne the pain. But now you are going to see the fruits of all of that agony and pain and patience. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Denry South, for understanding. And then we have the rehabilitation of the community center in Denry. What an eyesore that was. And also we are looking at the police station. We have the Limay Bridge rehabilitation to the tune of $750,000. And my, how the people of Limay are happy. And LaPel as well. There's only one thing though, Mr. Speaker. They complain that the bridge is too narrow, that two vehicles can pass on the bridge. But I have been assured that that can be rectified sometime. But for now, we need that bridge there to be an important link bridge in to LaPel and Limay and La Rousseuse and those other areas in Denry North. We have seen the extension, Mr. Speaker, of the Clendon Mason Memorial Secondary School to the tune of over $1 million, Mr. Speaker, and I'm told programmatically we'll be looking at emphasizing some of our technical areas and computer education to cater to the development of this area. A vision matures. The repair of the Newfield Road, Mr. Speaker, has taken place to the tune of approximately $100,000. But there's another second thought to be given, Mr. Speaker. What is used in communications and engineering palace as the double service dress? That is going to be taking place immediately after the budget, Mr. Speaker. We have seen the repair and the rehabilitation of the Usternut to Debois Road. Or what can be referred to as the Erat St. Joseph Road to the tune of $1.2 million, Mr. Speaker. And it took long, Mr. Speaker, it took long because I insisted that the pipe, the 8-inch vein, should have been laid for that $7 million project before we do the road. Because it would have been foolhardy to rush and do the road and then still have to come and dig it up to put the 8-inch vein. Obviously.
Deputy Speaker, may I invoke standing order 32, support of 10, to allow the Honourable Member for Denry South a further 15 minutes to complete his contribution to this Honourable House.
Members, standing order 32.10 has been invoked to allow the Member for Denry South another 15 minutes. All those who are in favour, say aye. Although not in favor, say no. The eyes have it. The eyes have it. Continue, member, for this.
the Lakai Multipurpose Court. Mr. Speaker, my young brothers and sisters of Lakai went through great agony. The Multipurpose Court had been started. And then it had to stop because we had some difficulty with the SFA funds that we have explained before. There was a blockage, there was a difficulty, but now the Minister of Finance of this country has come to the rescue of people like myself and the Honourable Member for Babono, where he has given us the money to complete that multipurpose court to the tune of $250,000, where thus far $106,000 has been spent. I am reliably informed, Mr. Speaker, that the court work has commenced on that court again, and the contractor, my very good friend, has said to me that he can deliver within the next 2 to 3 months. And then, Mr. Speaker, you have the continuation of drainage at the Green Mountain Rocky Lane Road. And this road, Mr. Speaker, this road is in the new budget. It has to be completed, Mr. Speaker, by this new budget. This road has taken a long time to be done. People have experienced great difficulty on this road, Mr. Speaker. The dust, there are people who have agonized. My good friend, Mr. Plant, has suffered in terms of his infant, asthmatic and everything, with all of this dust on the road. And I believe, Mr. Speaker, relief is coming at last. But what is the future, Mr. Speaker, as the vision takes shape? What is the future? The future, Mr. Speaker, is the acquisition of land at Green Mountain for the long-standing occupants in terms of giving them their land entitlement. Mr. Speaker, that document is about to go to Cabinet, whereby the people of Green Mountain, who have been faced with the threat of eviction by certain individuals, will now get relief and can have their land and can have an opportunity to purchase the land on which they have been since 1995 as a result of Storm Debbie. Storm Debbie, Mr. Speaker, Deputy Speaker, sent the people westward because there was nowhere they could go again in the village, having occupied near the coastline in the village. And they seized Remy Lesmore, gave them an opportunity to go over there at the risk and peril of certain individuals behaving in certain ways. And now, this government is going to offer these people release as they face the threat of eviction. And then, Mr. Speaker, Paul can go inside there and do its work and make them proud. The future, as the vision takes shape, Mr. Speaker, and matures, is the repair of the Green Mountain Rocky Lane Road, which I've spoken before of. The repair of the Glavier Road. That road really needs attention, Mr. Speaker. That road needs a lot of attention. I have received a number of complaints. A number of surveys have been done on that road, Mr. Speaker. But those surveys have not borne fruit. I have been requested to do some potholing. I have been told by the Minister of Communications and Roads that road is too far gone. Potholing would not make sense. And therefore, there has to be total rehabilitation. The repair of the potholing road, where residents have already taken things into their own hands, put their money together to deal with the drainage and certain rehabilitative works. But now is the time, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Deputy Speaker, for me to step in. Now is the time for us to step in to give them some relief because they have taken the first step and the initiative. Work is also needed on the village roads. The repair of the Lime to Lapel Road, now that the bridge is nearing completion. We need to look at that. And then, Mr. Speaker, we have the Lakai Ring Road. About 1999, Mr. Speaker, I repaired the road and did some lovely drainage in Lakai. But there's another part of the road which is like the adjoining ring road that needs attention. I am told that you can't even grade that road. What you need is a bulldozer to go in and break up some of the surfaces to facilitate the ease of passage of vehicles. And I intend to look into that, Mr. Speaker. In fact, that has to be part of this year's estimate, Mr. Speaker. And then there's the repair of the Battle Road, an agricultural road, a farmer's road, Mr. Speaker. The Montparnasse Road is being done. The Montparnasse Road is the adjoining road to Battle. You can go right from Battle to Montparnasse and vice versa. And we intend to look at this, Mr. Speaker, because despite the fact that the Honourable Member for Denry North has said that there are no farmers in Denry, all of them have gone, there are farmers on the Battle Road, Mr. Speaker. And also going down to Boskedor. So we have to look at that, Mr. Speaker. What farmers are left, we have to assist. Never mind that the Honourable Member for Denry North is saying, do not repair the road for these people because they are no longer farmers. And then you have, Mr. Speaker, the potholing of the main Lakai Road. Mr. Speaker, I intend to look at certain footpaths. And a very important one is for Lakai, Mr. Speaker. That Lakai footpath and drainage is important. We have a young paraplegic, Mr. Speaker, a young paraplegic who lives in that particular area who needs attention. He has a wheelchair and he needs that road. He needs that footpath and it will cost about $22,000. And by sometime next month, sometime around the 9th of May, a contract will be awarded to deal with this particular footpath, Mr. Speaker. And then there will be the drainage near the football field in Denry, where again it will cost $19,000. That field, attempts have been made to rehabilitate that field. I am still not satisfied with it, Mr. Speaker. And therefore I intend to look at the drainage works to the left of the field at a cost of $19,000. And then I want to look at some drainage works at Lime to the tune of $24,000. All of these, Mr. Speaker, I expect the contract to be awarded by the 9th of May this year, Mr. Speaker. That is next month. And then, Mr. Speaker, we are going to have the rehabilitation of the Denry Cricket Ground. Because we are going to get warm-up matches in Denry South, Mr. Speaker. Again, initiatives. I remember approaching the World Cup, the local organizing committee for World Cup, Mr. Speaker. I'm speaking to the individuals and saying to them, I want to see warm-up matches in Denry South. I didn't just sit or drive around or sit on the block telling people that I can't get this or that. I approach where necessary for me to get this. And as soon as it goes delay, cricket ground is rehabilitated and I think that should be done in the next 2 weeks. Then the Denry South cricket ground will be taken care of, Mr. Speaker. In the fullness of time. And then I'm still pursuing the Denry recreational park, Mr. Speaker, trying to backfill. We have some material there. I now need to get this material spread, Mr. Speaker, and bring in additional material. And our Denry Steel Band project, Mr. Speaker, is about to start. You heard from the Honourable Member for Castries Southeast, the Minister of Culture, who spoke about that joint poverty reduction and CDF project, Cultural Development Foundation project, to introduce steel band in Denry. And that's not the first time, eh? Denry used to have steel band, sometime in the 70s. And then that went awry. And then now we are reintroducing steel band in Denry because there's a talent abounds in the Denry South area, Mr. Speaker. From athletes to Calypsonians to musicians. I mean, phenomenal, Mr. Speaker, in Denry South. And then there's the commercialization of the bypass area. Mr. Speaker, you'll notice that there's some backfilling going on in the swamp, Mr. Speaker, in the Denry bypass. That is something I want to see continue, Mr. Speaker, because the idea is that if we can backfill that entire area, we can develop some employment opportunities and some commercial pursuits. The Denry police station will be located right there and I'm reliably informed that that will soon be starting because tender documents are going out for the contract. My vision then, Mr. Speaker, is to see a proper administrative center for the village council, the regional council, and a proper human resource development center for our young people. And I would like to see, Mr. Speaker, the relocation of the Denry daycare and preschool services to that area, because I am not happy with the fact that the multi-purpose center, which houses our young children, our kids, also plays home to many dances and other kinds of activity, Mr. Speaker. I think it's unhygienic, I think it's unhealthy, and we must separate that kind of situation, Mr. Speaker, in the 21st century. And therefore, Mr. Speaker, my vision is that as you drive from the north and you traverse the Badland and traverse Denry North into Denry South, and you come down by the bypass opposite the Green Mountain Rocky Lane area, and you continue to traverse and you look on the left side, Mr. Speaker, as you approach the Gregory Mongrel property, Mr. Speaker, and you look on the left side, you see this great commercial area that can be declared a special development area with commercial pursuits like pharmacy and banking services and ATM services and places for paying bills, because the bills have moved westward, Mr. Speaker, and we need to provide those facilities. And then, Mr. Speaker, that is my vision. As my vision matures, as the vision of the people of Denry matures, Mr. Speaker. A beautiful mall, providing employment. Mr. Speaker, the time has come when the people of Denry South, and indeed Denry North, the time has come when they should not have to go and withdraw $150 or down to a bank in town to explore ATM service of Newport, where they can just go to Denry and withdraw that $150 without having to pay transport to go down there. The time has come for that, Mr. Speaker. The time has come for that. And so, Mr. Speaker, that is my vision, Mr. Speaker. And I see, Mr. Speaker, beyond the horizon, a better cemetery. We have tried our best to rehabilitate that cemetery, Mr. Speaker, but now we might have to think relocation. And as a temporary measure, we will have to do some backfilling, because it's a swampy area, Mr. Speaker, and we need to do better than that. We need to treat our people in the cemetery with dignity. They made a contribution. They also have a decent burial and rest in peace. Amen. Relocate the Denver Cemetery. The cemetery. To love the godless. And then, Mr. Speaker, one thing that disturbs me in Denry and has been a failure on my part, because I'm not going to only talk about the successes. The failure on my part, Mr. Deputy Speaker, has been the fact that I see too many abandoned properties and abandoned shabby houses in the village and abandoned land. Mr. Speaker, I am going to collaborate with various agencies, including the Denry Development Foundation and the Denry Village Council, to look into this matter. Some of those houses, Mr. Speaker, can be in fact, very, very lethal missiles during a hurricane or storm. Galvanized sheets, just there waiting to be floating in the storm. We have to deal with that, Mr. Speaker. We can't have a village in this modern era with those kinds of that kind. We have to do some uplifting, Mr. Speaker. And I intend to pursue that, Mr. Speaker. And the Denry Hospital. The Honourable Member for Denry North keeps saying that the Denry Hospital is closed. I don't understand the Honourable Member for Denry North. The hospital is not closed. I admit that there are things that have to be done. And I have said to this Honourable House that after we have taken care of Soufre, we will be looking at Denry as one of the polyclinics, as one of the areas where there will be multiple services. Because, Mr. Speaker, I recognize that you cannot have a body-led facility, you cannot have touristic activities, you cannot have people in the Denry village not being exposed to proper health services. I understand that. I more than anybody else should understand that, Mr. Speaker. And this is what we are looking at. That is why even the police station, Mr. Speaker, I want to see that police station there, because I'm petrified. I'm petrified because that police station, Mr. Speaker, must be able to be like the first respondent in the time of any crisis at Bodley. Not that I'm saying that there will be a crisis, But if there's some rioting or something that's bodily, the Denry police station should be the first place for response and therefore should be equipped with the requisite personnel and equipment and technical services to deal with any impending rioting at the bodily correctional facility. And therefore it cannot be an ordinary facility. We have to deal with that, we have to, and this is what this government thinks of power planning. We understand that, Mr. Speaker. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that. You understand? And then, Mr. Speaker, I am very concerned about the public health situation in Denry. Something that has to be done, Mr. Speaker. Something has to be done with this public health situation in Denry. And Mr. Speaker, like I said before, if you are a good leader, you take initiative. So just like in Lakai, where I have constructed, through Poverty Reduction Fund, over 80 ventilated improved pit latrines, the VIP system for my people in Lakai, it is the same way I shall pursue it for the people of Denver. Because we did a survey, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, we did a survey. And we are seeing that it will cost us, and here is the project proposal, Mr. Speaker, which I can make a document of your project proposal for construction of ventilated improved systems for the Denry village, Mr. Speaker. Because we have realized, Mr. Speaker, that at 4 o'clock in the morning, there is what you call a virtual brigade. I want to stop that virtual brigade, Mr. Speaker. Because we are moving into a quality and standard now. The village is growing, Mr. Speaker. We are moving into a quality and standard now. And we have to deal with that. So we are saying that in an effort to reduce or prevent the incidence of excreta borne diseases at Denry Village, the Department of Environmental Health, etc., is looking at this. And we are approaching the Grassroots Foundation through the Denry Development Foundation to look at this, and this project is going to cost us about $250,000, Mr. Speaker. Over $250,000. You know why, Mr. Speaker? I cannot allow a situation of a seawall where people go and wantonly defecate on the seawall, Mr. Speaker. I cannot allow that, Mr. Speaker. And the DITO itself, Mr. Speaker, we have dealt with that. We have spent $11,000 improving the security system, Mr. Speaker. $11,000 putting up five poles and lights, Mr. Speaker. And the intention is to fence the DITO and put a proper gate so that we can secure that area, Mr. Speaker. I do not like what is happening on the DITO, Mr. Speaker. I do not like it. We need to bring standards and quality. I took pains to call meetings of the stakeholders, Denry Village Council, the Fish Marketing Corporation, Ministry of Fisheries. I looked at all of that, Mr. Speaker, and we have to go forward in this and make this a better place. We have visitors there, we cannot keep it in that way, Mr. Speaker, and I don't intend to see it being kept in that way. And with all of this, Mr. Speaker, not only am I looking at the construction of these systems, I have engaged WASCO, Mr. Speaker, and as I speak, they are individuals designing what we call a small bore sewer system for the village of Denry, Mr. Speaker, similar to what is expected for Corelli Gardens, Mr. Speaker, where you have the effluent from existing septic tanks or interceptors going into a treatment plant, Mr. Speaker. We have to upgrade the standards and quality of the Denry village. And then that will have been done, Mr. Speaker. I expect over the next year or two and a half years, I want to see, Mr. Speaker, finally, that the Denry village acquire the status of the fourth town of St. Lucia. That is my vision. That is the vision that's maturing, Mr. Speaker. So taking the entire Denry area, Denry North and Denry South, Denry Village will be made a town. Denry Village will be made a town. So look out. I come in. Look out.
Honourable member, you see, I see your time is up.
All right, Mr. Speaker. Okay, let me just say thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, honourable members. What I want to say, Mr. Speaker, is that the country is in good hands. I see Denry again becoming the fourth tongue of St. Lucia, and I see that happening within the next 2.5 years during the midterm, Mr. Speaker. Thank you very much, and I fully support the government.